You know, there's this very specific, almost visceral kind of anxiety that comes with higher education.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking about finals week or, you know, defending a thesis. I'm talking about the stack.
It's a stack.
Right. You know exactly what I mean. The moment you're accepted or the day you get hired as faculty, you just get buried under this literal mountain of digital paper. The syllabus, the code of conduct, thesis guidelines, the admission handbook, all those compliance memos from HR. It's essential information, absolutely. But let's be
Lost
honest,
and dry.
it's so dry, it's dense, and it's usually locked in a PDF format that feels like it hasn't evolved since like the late 90s.
It is the classic friction point of academia. You've got this incredible depth of knowledge. I mean, universities are basically cathedrals of information, but the delivery mechanism is often just a static file.
Just sitting in a folder.
Exactly, just
Right.
sitting there waiting for you to have the energy to open it.
Which brings us to the mission for this deep dive. We're looking at a really fascinating collision between two different worlds that claims to solve exactly that problem.
Right. On one side, you have the, let's call it the operating system of the university,
And on the other,
a new kind of industrial engine.
let's introduce the players properly before we get into the tech. So first we have Creatrix Campus. If you work in EdTech, you know these guys.
Oh, yeah.
They are a massive student lifecycle platform. They handle everything, and I really do mean everything, from the moment a student applies to the moment they become an alumni.
And we're not talking about small community colleges here, though they serve them too.
No.
The documentation lists heavy hitters: the National University of Singapore, the University of Otago, MIT ADT. Creatrix is the backbone. They focus heavily on low-code, no-code to automate university workflows. Basically, they make the university run.
So that's the infrastructure, the pipes. But then on the other side, we have this challenger tech called Auto Content API. And the sources are very careful not to call it just a writing tool.
No, they call it an industrial engine.
An industrial engine for content transformation.
And that word industrial is the key distinction. This isn't a chatbot where you type a prompt and wait for a poem. We're talking about a system built to process thousands of requests programmatically. It's headless, it runs in the background.
So the question we're exploring today is, what happens when you plug that industrial content engine into a massive education platform like Creatrix? How do you turn that mountain of static text, the stack, into something students actually want to engage with?
And just to be super clear for everyone listening, we're not talking about using AI to, hallucinate new textbooks or fake research
Yeah.
papers. The core insight here is content transformation. It's about taking the data Creatrix already holds, the trusted source material, and automatically mutating it into podcasts, videos, and study guides.
Which sounds great in theory, turning lead into gold. But I want to see how it works in practice. I want to walk through the actual life cycle of a university user, starting right at the front door.
Recruitment. This is a critical area, especially with the enrollment cliff universities are facing.
The competition is fierce.
It is. And if you look at the Creatrix documentation, they have these specific modules for admissions and self-registration. Their goal is to grease the wheels to get students into the system faster.
But here's the bottleneck I always see, and I think everyone has experienced this. If I'm a prospective student, maybe I'm 18, maybe I'm returning to school, I go to a university website to look at degree programs. And what do I find?
A wall of text.
A wall of text, prerequisites, credit hours, core competencies. It's a complete snooze fest.
It's worse than that. In the attention economy, that is a losing strategy. The source material highlights a staggering statistic here.
Oh, yeah.
Video increases dwell time on a web page significantly. In fact, pages with video are 53 times more likely to rank on the first page of Google.
Wait, 53 times? That just seems astronomically high.
It does sound high, right? But think about Google's algorithm. It prioritizes engagement. If people stay to watch a video, Google thinks, okay, this page is valuable.
Yeah.
If they bounce because they see a wall of text, Google buries it. But here's the problem Creatrix's clients face:
The cost.
the cost. Producing a high-quality video for every single degree program is prohibitively expensive.
Right. I was looking at the industry averages in the notes. Professional video production is
Yeah.
what, $3,000 to $10,000 per project?
Exactly. So if you're a university with 200 degree programs, bachelor's, master's, PhDs, you're looking at a $1 million budget just to get the basics covered.
It's economically impossible for most places.
It is.
So enter the integration. This is where Auto Content API comes in.
Specifically, they have what's called the explainer video endpoint. And the workflow is, well, fascinatingly simple.
Okay.
Creatrix already has the URL for the degree program's description page. It has all the text. The API just crawls that URL, it extracts the key selling points, and then generates a 60 to 90 second horizontal video.
We need to be clear about what this looks like, because when I hear automated video, I'm thinking of those terrible slideshows with stock photos of people shaking hands.
No, and that's where the industrial part comes in again. This includes AI avatars, subtitles, synchronized lip syncing. It essentially creates a presenter who explains the degree program to you. It looks polished.
So imagine a workflow in Creatrix. The Academic Council approves a new data science major. They hit publish in the system.
And automatically, in the background, the API triggers. 5 minutes later, that new landing page has a video summary embedded right there.
No film crew, no scriptwriting team, no post-production delays.
None. It changes the economics completely. Instead of thousands of dollars, the source says you are looking at pennies on the dollar per asset.
But video isn't just for the website anymore, is it? We have to talk about the TikTok problem.
Yes. The vertical 9.16 format. The battleground for Gen Z attention, TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts.
I feel like every university marketing department knows they should be on TikTok, but they just can't keep up. It feels like a treadmill.
Because the algorithm demands volume. To grow on those platforms, you generally need, what, 3 to 5 posts a day?
Wow.
A typical university marketing team of 2 people who are also doing brochures, email campaigns, and event planning, they cannot physically edit 3 videos a day.
So how does the integration solve that? Because you can't just spam the feed with degree descriptions.
Well, you can, but you do it smartly. It allows for what the sources call a faceless channel at scale. Creatrix helps universities manage student recruitment events and news, right? Well, imagine if the system could automatically take highlights from the campus news feed or snippets from those degree descriptions and just churn out daily shorts.
So top 5 reasons to study marine biology, set to trending music, vertical format, subtitles on.
Precisely. And the cost reduction mentioned in the sources is wild. It says a manually produced short costs anywhere from $50 to $300 if you outsource it. With the API, it's about 400 credits.
Which translates to what in real money?
Roughly 4 euros on their business plan. That's a 90% plus reduction.
That allows a university to just flood the zone, so to speak. They can be present in the feeds of potential students every single day without hiring a massive media team.
It moves recruitment from a pull strategy, hoping they come read the website, to a push strategy where you are constantly in their feed. You meet the student where they live.
Okay, so we've got students in the door. They've signed up. They're paying tuition. Now we get to the core product, learning. This is where Creatrix's learning management and thesis management modules come into play.
And this is where the synergy gets really intellectually interesting. Creatrix says they want to serve mobile-ready students.
Which usually just means we have an app. But the app just loads the same PDFs on a smaller screen. I've tried reading academic papers on my phone.
That's a nightmare.
It's a total nightmare.
Yeah.
Pinching and zooming on a 50-page PDF while riding the bus is not mobile ready.
Correct. That's merely mobile accessible. It's not optimized. And this is where we have to talk about the notebook LM gap. You might have heard of Google's notebook LM.
Yeah, it went viral recently. You upload a doc, it creates an audio overview. It's incredibly cool. But it's a consumer tool, right? I have to go do it myself, manually.
Exactly. And AutoContent positions itself explicitly as the notebook LM API alternative, the key word being API, meaning it's automated.
So play this out for me.
Yeah.
I'm a student.
Yeah.
I log into Creatrix. What happens?
Okay, picture this workflow. A professor uploads a dense reading, maybe for a thesis management course. Because Creatrix is integrated with AutoContent, that PDF is instantly ingested.
Okay.
The system then converts that text into a 2-person dialogue podcast.
I want to pause on the 2-person part. Why does that matter? Why not just a single text-to-speech voice reading it out loud like an audiobook?
It comes down to what the source calls multi-speaker dynamics. A dialogue format, a question and answer, a bit of banter, a back and forth. It significantly increases retention compared to a monologue. It mimics a radio show or a conversation. It turns passive reading into active listening.
So the student can listen to their reading assignment while they're commuting or at the gym or doing laundry. It effectively gives every single course its own private podcast feed.
And it goes deeper than just audio. The Auto Content API can also generate study aids from that same text. It can output quizzes, study guides, and even timelines.
Which fits perfectly into Creatrix. I saw they have specific modules for assessments and exams.
Exactly. So the system doesn't just give the student the content, it automatically generates the tools to test their knowledge of that content.
It's a closed loop of learning.
Generated instantly from the source text.
That's a game changer for accessibility, too. But speaking of accessibility, we have to talk about language. Because looking at the Creatrix client list, they are all over the map.
They really are. You've got the University of Aruba, International University Kuwait, the Sharjah Education Academy. These are regions where English might be the medium of instruction, but it's not the native language of every student.
Or crucially, every parent.
And language barriers are a huge friction point in global education. If I send a policy update to parents in English and half of them speak Arabic, I'm failing to communicate.
Ugly.
Auto Content API supports over 50 languages. So consider the global reality of these campuses. A professor at the University of Aruba could upload a lecture note in English to the Creatrix platform.
And the API grabs it.
The API grabs it and can automatically generate audio and text versions in Spanish, Dutch, Arabic, Chinese, whatever is needed.
Instantly.
It multiplies the total addressable market for the university's content. But it also ensures that students who might struggle with complex academic English can access the material in their native tongue to make sure they grasp the concepts first.
There's another feature here that I think is kind of wild, and it solves what they call the CEO paradox. Or in this case, maybe the Dean paradox.
Oh, yes, the voice cloning feature.
This one feels a little sci-fi, maybe even a little controversial. Explain the Dean paradox to me.
Well, everyone wants to hear from the dean or the president, right?
Yeah.
In higher ed, that personal connection matters.
It drives retention, donations, community.
All of it.
Yeah.
But the dean is busy. They can't be recording personalized welcome messages for every single student or weekly updates for every department.
So usually you just get a generic email signed by them.
Yeah.
Or a video recorded 6 months ago.
Exactly. But this integration offers a massive efficiency hack. The dean records their voice once, just a few minutes of audio to train the model. The Auto Content API then creates a high-fidelity clone.
And when you say high-fidelity, are we talking about that robotic, stilted voice from 1990?
No.
Or Siri?
No. The reviews describe the voices as natural, steady, and believable. So now, Creatrix can trigger a personalized welcome to the semester audio message to thousands of students, addressing them by their program.
So welcome to the engineering class of 2028.
All in the dean's voice.
And the dean didn't have to step into a recording booth.
Nope. They could be at a conference in Geneva or on a flight, and their voice is still engaging with the student body. It maintains that leadership presence without the time cost.
That is both amazing and slightly terrifying,
yes.
But mostly amazing for efficiency. Now, I want to pivot to the faculty side, because Creatrix isn't just for students. They have this whole faculty excellence, suite workload, performance, research tracking.
And this is where we move from content generation to what the sources call deep research.
This caught my eye. Auto Content has a deep research endpoint. We need to clarify. How is this different from just asking ChatGPT a question?
That is the critical distinction. A standard LLM is limited to its training data. It has a cutoff date. If you ask it about something that happened yesterday, it might not know. The deep research endpoint uses agents via Gemini or OpenAI to browse the live web.
So it's actually going out and reading the internet right now.
Correct. It's reading reputable sources like the Financial Times, SEC.gov, or the latest medical journals, and it cites them.
So how would a professor use this inside Creatrix?
Imagine setting up recurring research templates. Professors are expected to stay on top of their fields, but the amount of new research published daily is just overwhelming.
Impossible to keep up with.
So a faculty member could set up a workflow in Creatrix, scan for new developments in renewable energy policy every 24 hours.
And the system does the browsing.
It browses, it synthesizes the findings, and it delivers a daily briefing. It could be a PDF summary or bringing it all back to audio, a short podcast episode, summarizing the day's new research.
So the professor gets a customized news show about their own research field every morning while they drink their coffee. That's incredible.
It empowers institutional effectiveness, which is another Creatrix module, by making sure the faculty is always operating with the most current knowledge without spending hours scrolling through journals.
There is also an internal angle here for the university staff, right?
Yeah.
Because universities are notorious for information silo.
And the information silo problem, yeah.
The administration sends out a memo and nobody reads it.
Exactly. Creatrix has modules for staff management and compliance. Usually, compliance updates are 10-page memos.
Which, let's be real, get skimmed at best. Maybe you read the bold text.
Right. So the opportunity here is the private podcast network. Creatrix could let institutions turn those internal compliance updates into internal podcasts.
The Compliance Chronicles.
Huh, maybe with a catchier title. But the point is, staff can listen while driving to work. It turns dead time into learning time, making sure the whole institution is actually aligned on strategy and policy.
I want to talk about how this actually fits together technically, because often we hear about these cool tools, but getting them to talk to each other is a nightmare. Is this going to require a team of 10 developers?
In this case, the architecture seems almost destined to fit. Creatrix markets itself as a low-code, no-code platform.
Right, drag and drop.
It's designed to be modular.
And auto-content.
Auto-content describes itself as API-first and headless.
Headless always sounds spooky to me. Break that down for the non-techies.
It just means it doesn't have a user interface. It doesn't need a human clicking buttons in a dashboard. It's a pure engine running in the background, designed to be triggered by code or by automation tools like Make.com or Zapier.
So the synergy is a Creatrix workflow triggers the action like new course added, and auto content performs the magic without anyone lifting a finger.
Precisely. And economically, this is vital for higher ed. Universities are often budget constrained. They can't act like Netflix or Disney with massive production budgets.
The comparison in the notes is striking. Manual podcast or video production is hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Auto content is measured in cents or credits.
It allows Creatrix to offer high-end media capabilities, things that used to be reserved for the Ivy League or massive corporations. To any institution, a small college in a developing nation can produce the same quality of audio summaries and recruitment videos as a top-tier global university.
It democratizes the quality of communication.
It really does. It levels the playing field.
That is a really powerful point. So let's wrap this up. We've looked at the student journey, the faculty research, the global reach. What's the big takeaway for you?
For me, it's about the shift from static information to dynamic knowledge. For a long time, universities have been warehouses of files. The knowledge is there, but it's locked in a format, files and folders, that requires high friction to access.
And today's student is used to low friction. They're used to YouTube, Spotify, TikTok. If it doesn't play, they don't stay.
Exactly. By connecting a content transformation engine like AutoContent to the higher ed operating system that is Creatrix, you create a loop where information automatically morphs into the format the user needs.
So if they need to read, it's text.
If they are driving, it's a podcast. If they are scrolling, it's a video.
It meets the learner where they are, rather than forcing the learner to come to the archive.
Precisely. It turns the archive into a broadcast.
So here is a final thought for everyone listening to Mullover. We are moving toward what tech people call the agentic web, where AI agents are reading content to answer our questions.
That's the future we are staring down.
So if an institution's knowledge is locked in a static PDF that an agent can't easily parse or summarize into a rich format, does that knowledge even exist to the modern student?
That's a good question.
Or is the future of education defined not by what you know, but by how fluidly your data can transform into the format the learner needs right now?
That is a question every dean and CIO needs to be asking themselves.
Something to think about next time you are staring at a 40-page syllabus. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.